Well, hello, and thanks again for your call to Daily Inspiration. I trust that the Lord is speaking to you from His Word. If not, today could be that day. You know, we ought to pray, Lord, speak to me. If this is God's Word, which I have my King James Bible in front of me, I believe it's the perfect Word of God for the English language. And if God is going to speak to mankind, this is the way He's going to speak to him, through His perfect, inspired Word. And I just trust that God will speak to us today. I'd like you to turn with me, if you have your Bible. If not, you can always go back and look at what I say. You know, it's very important for you and I to take the words of Jesus seriously when He said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." When someone says the Bible says, you better know it really says it. Turn. Get your Bible. Check the book. I tell you, you won't be deceived if you stay in God's Word and let God speak and interpret it for you. The Bible says actually in the book of 1 John that you don't need a man to teach you, for the Holy Ghost can be your teacher. Now, we do need men in the church to be faithful, to be the biblical leadership, and to preach and teach the Word, and we're to give them double honor, the Bible says. But it's our responsibility as a believer, if we have a sound mind, to check the book and to prove all things. And we need to be doing that. Don't just take somebody's word. If you're in a church that says this is the way it is and you can't find it in the Bible, well, you better get explanation. You better go and find out why they're doing something that's not in the Bible. If you want to be saved, you'll seek God. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. You know, God is in the business of forgiving our sins and remembering them no more. Let's back up to verse 17, and it says, "And their sins," Hebrews 10, 17, "and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Then he goes on to verse 19. He shifts gears just a little bit, but I wanted to get that thought in there, that God has forgiven our sins and remembered them no more, and where there's a forgiveness of sins, you need not any more offering. You don't have to keep re-crucifying Jesus for your sins. He died once for all. You don't need to do some great thing to receive God's forgiveness. You just have to be sorry and humbly ask, and you'll be forgiven. I mean, the payment's been made. There's nothing you can do but receive it and then let God change your life. Verse 19, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter in the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." We have a duty to one another. There is a promise. The old covenant is done away with because we have this sins and iniquities forgiven because there was a sacrifice made. The blood of Jesus was spilled. He died. He rose again. He sent the Holy Ghost. So now we don't have to re-crucify Jesus. Our poor deceived friends in the Catholic Church continue to have what is called a mass. And if you'll research the mass, they call it the ongoing unbloody sacrifice of Jesus. They basically are re-crucifying Jesus afresh every time they have what is called their mass, or their massacre, we can call it, of Christianity. And they have to have a man to forgive your sins. You have to go through Mary to get to Jesus, or you pray to saints. No. You go not through any church, not through any organization. We can go quickly, and we can go right to Jesus Christ, and we can have our sins forgiven. We have a high priest, Jesus, over the house of God. So we draw near with a true heart, full assurance of faith, and he washes us. And this is what verse 20 calls the new and living way. And he did it by being a man, God in a man's body, and letting the creation have havoc on him to kill him, so that he could lay his life down an offering for sin. So you should have boldness to enter into this. The Bible says in another place, come boldly to the throne of grace to find grace to help, and throne of mercy to find grace to help in time of need. Here it tells us that you can have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We should be more bold to go to heaven's throne and get our sins forgiven, or to get a need met from God, than we are to go bother some clerk at a store, or the utility company, or whatever it is, even a judge or a magistrate here on earth. We should be more bold to go to Jesus than we are them, because the blood of Jesus was spilled for you and I. This new and living way that he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And he's the high priest over the house of God. You know, the house of God is a spiritual house made up of you and me and anyone else that has faith in Jesus Christ sincerely. It's not a building. It's not a certain group. It's not a language or a race. It is the people that have cried out to God, and they have been clean from their evil conscience. They've been washed with the pure water of God's word. So because of this, verse 23, he says that we should hold fast the profession of our faith. The profession of our faith. What have you professed? You know, Peter said, Jesus asked Peter, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ. His profession was, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood is not revealed unto you, but my Father. And if you've had that revelation, and it's not just something you think of, that you've been taught, you know, it's the right thing to say. But if you have a profession of faith in Jesus Christ like that, with that, it says that you're to hold that without wavering, without varying, without changing, without, you know, like a wave moving back and forth. Because he says right here in my Bible, after it says that, for he is faithful that promised. What did he promise? That there's a new and living way. You can have boldness. Their sins and iniquities, verse 17 said, I'll remember them no more. Verse 16 says, I'll make a covenant with them. He'll put his laws in your heart and in your mind, and he'll write them there. Wow. You know, it's not enough just to try and fail, to try and fail, to try and maybe fake it. No, you can succeed. You can have your sins totally forgiven. I don't care what they are. If you're sorry for them and you cry out to Jesus, he washes you, and you have that confidence. And you're, once you get forgiven, don't go play in sin, but hold fast that profession without wavering. And then he goes on to see, once we have our heart right and we're clean and we're getting together with other people whose hearts are right and clean, then we provoke one another to love and good works. Not just, we're pretty good at provoking one another to anger sometimes. Help us, Lord, not to do that anymore. We're to provoke one another to love and good works, a provocation of doing right and good. My godly example should be an encouragement to you, and vice versa. And then he tells us, don't forsake the assembly. Meet with other Christians. Study the Word. Sing together. Pray together. Hear preaching of the Word and teaching of the Word, because the day is approaching. The day of God's judgment is coming. The day of reckoning is coming. God has given me and you everything we need to be faithful. So let us be. God bless your day.